Today is the first day I'm going to start with an album of God. The album, photo album. How many of you got photo album in your house? How many of you don't have? I'm the only one? Oh, no. Everyone have got a photo album in our house, and we always cherish the photo album. Is that right? We cherish it and we share it with many people. And whenever we have a photo album in our house and we share it with somebody else, we always have emotions attached to it. Is that right? Right? You have emotions, your emotions come over you, and then after that, you tend to remember what the Lord or what God has put you in your life. Is that right? How many of you don't have emotions when you see an album? How many of you cry when you see the album? It all depends on you. What kind of events is God has put in your life? So today, to establish the album, I want to go on with a couple of things today to establish that we are in the family of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that, Lord, even as we launch to speak about your family today and your community, Lord, we pray our hearts will be open, that every word that is spoken today will come from you, not from the flesh or from the carnal mind. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your spirit will lead today. Welcome, Lord Holy Spirit. Touch. And everything that I speak should come from you, only from you. My lips, Lord, I dedicate to you. My mind, I dedicate to you. Even my heart and wholesome, I dedicate to you, Father. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, the word which is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7 says that, in the beginning, God created man. Is that right? Alright, God created man. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So that's what the word of God says. So God created man out of dust. But you see, the problem is, many of us know that there is God who created life and he breathed life into us. And he says the breath of life. Breath of life means it's breath, it's not na, I can't pronounce the Hebrew word, it's nashaonau, meshaomau. It's N, S-H-A-M-E-A-H. It's a vital spirit of life. That's what he says. He's breathed into us the vital spirit of life into our lives. So when he breathed into this dust, which was formed in the image, and after that he breathed into it, there was life. And then he was able to do it. Able to breathe, able to do the things that they want to do in this world. So God in the beginning itself, in creation, God created everything. And then after that, it is God who gave us life and formed us in life. But the word of God in Genesis 1:26 says that, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God in chapter 1, verse 26, he says that, God decided, verse 26 and 27 and 28 you'll find, God decided, he says that, let us. There's always a problem with mankind now. God sometimes is contradicting his word. Is that right? Now God says, let us. But in the most of the chapters and you'll find, God says he is alone and is nobody else. Is that right? Every one of us sometimes, when I read the Bible, I don't know about you, I'm a little bit slow in reading or whatever it is, and my knowledge comes a little bit late. So I was reading and I say, how come God is contradicting himself? Here he says, there is none like me, and there is no one else like me, and everywhere he speaks about, I'll give you the scriptures, you know, you see in Deuteronomy 6:4, he says that it's plural, it's not singular, plural. Deuteronomy 32:39, he also says it's plural. You know, he says now, 6:4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. He's one, he says, one. Right? And then after that, in Isaiah, in Deuteronomy 32:39, he says that, now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. He says, one. And I can give you verses now. You can go back and check Isaiah 45:5 and verse 6, John chapter 17:3, and 1 Corinthians 8:6. All these are words of singularity. Now he talks about plural. He is a lot, many, more than one. Like, let us make in our image, our liking. So God must be something wrong somewhere with us. We are missing something somewhere. Let us look at it. And then he says in Genesis chapter 3:22, he says that he also talks about it. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. Right? One of us. to know good and evil. And then God in 11, chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 says, come, let us go down. And they, when they were creating the Tower of Babel, and said, let us go down. And then in chapter 18, you'll find, in he says, when Abraham was under the memory tree, and he found three men walking. He said, three men was there. Not one, three. And then after that, you go back and see everything in the Bible. It says, when the man rose up and went into Sodom, the Lord was still with him. Can't catch it, man. Is God one or two or three or four or five? Right? And then after that, he tells us in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, he says that, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? He didn't say, who will go for me? He said, us. Right? And then you'll see in chapter 14, Isaiah 48, 16 also says that. Come near to me. Right, he says it very clearly. Let me read them. Come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that I was there, and now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. Oh, now he's talking about more than one person. Right, a few of them. So God is speaking to people, and in Jesus says that, you know, in John chapter 10 verse 30, he says that, and I and my Father are one. Sometimes Christians, we have got a problem with our life, right? We said God is one, and God's also three. You have more than three, he says. Now, first of all, before God, when he said, come, let us make in our image, God already is telling us that there was just an extension of his family. There was already a family inside him that is resides inside him in a person of three. Do you forget what I'm saying? There was already an existence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the scripture afterwards in John. You'll see that. You'll see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit was already there. In John speaks it very clearly. They were already there. It was a family by itself. And this brother this morning read about from John 14, you know, he says that, you know my Father and I know, you know my Father, from now on you see him and know him. We get confused sometimes. Even the disciples who were sitting beside him got confused. And Philip, still ignorant, he said, please show me the Father, where is he? You're talking about him. So today, let us get our life right first. First of all, God already is a family by himself. Do you agree with me? Because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. They cannot be separated. They are family, first of all. So God, in the beginning, when he started, decided to say, God created the earth. He said there was no form in the earth because of destruction and everything else. And God said there was no form. God created the first Genesis and second Genesis, first 1-1 Genesis and 1-2 Genesis. We'll talk about the creation. Start, 2 starts with creation. And God says that he separated the heavens and the earth, and there was a lot of form, and he formed it in the form. But when he formed, God was now, when he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So he was telling that God, he is going to make something, somebody natural who can be touched and seen. You can feel and say, yeah, this is a flesh. He's going to make somebody exactly like him. Amen. Is that right? Do you agree with me? Are you with me so far? So God, in his extension of his family, he extended a family. He did not just say that I'm going to create a man. It's one of the things that he created. One of the creatures he created. He did not. There was a difference between man and the creation he created. Because man has got one thing inside him. That the word of God, just now I spoke to you, as I said, he's the only place in Genesis he speaks about singular is in the beginning. And God created. God created. Created is a verb. So in order to do that, he used a word. He says created. And God in the beginning, his name is called Elohim. Elohim is the name of God. The Hebrew language says Elohim. In the Bible, he talks the Torah, he talks about Genesis 1, he says, God created. That is the only place he talks about singular, because created comes as a following. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he was just singular. Every else, God as Elohim is used as plural. It's not because that the word ours and we and I is used because the Hebrew language is such to give majesty to the name of God, to give glory to the name of God, to give the awesomeness of God and the holiness of God. That one nobody can steal away from God. No man, no creation, nothing can steal away from him. Do you follow where I'm going so far? Are you with me? It's important for us to understand, because I'm going to talk about album. Some people will tell me, why God has got no album lah? Right? So I want to tell you, to put you in imagination, God has an album. And you and I are inside it. So he started and he said, we and Elohim started to create. And the creation word is in Hebrew language, it's called bara. Bara. See, it's actually a word to create, that he created. So God created. Oneness created the world, and every creation came by the oneness of God. So John, in the beginning, he says, in the first chapter, he says, that in the beginning, the Word was with God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And the Word became flesh. Why is it must come into flesh? Because in the beginning, God was in the Spirit. Do you follow? So God lived in the spiritual realm as a spirit. No one can see him. What he speaks can hear, but that is the word. Only thing which is audible is the word. Do you get where I'm saying? And Jesus himself says in chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 24, he says it very clearly, God is spirit. Anyone who wants to worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Do you follow where I'm getting now? So you want to worship God, must worship him in the word, which is Jesus Christ, and also in the Spirit, because God is Spirit. And that is why in Jeremiah, when he said, well, as I said, who shall I send to for us? And he said, here I am. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he said, I am here. So whom shall I send? It's the Spirit of God and the Father, Godhead. And when did this come into our realization? None of us can comprehend what it was until Jesus Christ came as flesh and born into this world. Then we realize that God has God, this triune God. He explains a lot of things about himself. And now just now you read, you know, 14 says that, you know, you've seen the Father, and whatever the Father, whatever I speak from the Father. I do not speak alone. My testimony does not come from any man, comes only from the Father, and he alone will witness for me. And his Spirit, he is in the Spirit, and he will come and testify of me. Chapter 15 of John. Do you follow what I'm saying? So we understand that. So God now is extending his family, his oneness of his family, into another world. The oneness in the family is in the spiritual realm. We cannot see. But God created the spiritual realm and extended in the Garden of Eden as a natural realm. And I believe in my spirit, and there are many people who scholars and theologians argue with so many things. For me, I want to have a simple faith. Right? One simple faith. I believe that God extended the heavens to Garden of Eden. That's why Garden of Eden was blocked. Everything inside it was so beautiful, like heaven. Heaven came real in Garden of Eden. That is why God can walk anytime. Right? In the cool of the morning, God walks in the garden. It's an extension. So God created the heavenly place like in this earth. And for man to dwell, the creation that he created was only on his image and nobody else. We'll talk about it afterwards, okay? Are you with me so far? So do you believe God was a family by himself? And it's an extension of the family. We are a family together. Jesus has said it, and he said it very clearly. Those who believe in me, those who are born of him, are in the family of God. Amen? So it's an extension of family. When you have a family, you'll surely have a place, an album of your own, to show, remember what your children have done. I have an album of my own. I even got my photograph, a small photograph of mine. Somewhere I dug it and I found a small photograph when I was young. I don't know how old I was. You look at it, you'll say, is this James or not? Probably I look very rowdy at the time. Right? Naughty fella. He looks very naughty. See, that's how God created an album for us. God created an album in His image, and He created this album from Adam, the first man, and the first woman, Eve. Amen? So if today God is going to share, when you and I go to heaven, and we are there, and God wants to share His album with us, He will be happy to show. You see, I created Him in my image and in my likeness. Okay? So the first family I want to talk about today, are you all with me, or you want more scriptures to give you that, you know, God is right? In the entirety of the first album God had was not of the creation in heaven, in reality natural, was Adam and Eve. He created everything that was in the garden, and for to sustain him as a physical man, in heaven you don't need food. Alright? Heaven don't need food. Because our soul doesn't need food. Our spirit doesn't need food. Only our body needs food. Is that right? Our body needs food. The spirit and soul has to live forever. God gave that spirit, just now I said in 2:7, and He said that when He breathed into the life into man, He breathed life into God. God breathed life into man, sorry. As He breathed, He gave life in so that this body, which is now, which is made, can have life. That soul from heaven and the spirit from heaven is now put into the man. Do you follow what I'm saying? The oneness of God is put into man. That is why the breath is very important. Breath of God is very important in our life. Without the spirit, we can't live. Amen? You can have a body of formation, but without His spirit, we cannot live. Coming to the next one is Elohim, as started off in creation, He said there was this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. It denotes one, number one, it's plural, and also a concept of excellence and majesty in His life. That is, His majesty will come into our life. But we cannot actually be liked exactly like God. We'll be in the likeness of God, we'll be in the image of God, but He is the boss. Do you follow what I'm saying? He's still the boss. Unlike Satan, wanted to become a boss. He lawan tauke. So when he lawan tauke, they have to send down. When he went against the boss, he was sent down. You'll find that in Isaiah, also in Jeremiah. You'll find that in Isaiah very well, clearly mentioned. Oh, Lucifer, how he was sent down. But today, God is creating a natural man for Himself to glorify Himself. Amen. So the first person when He created, God created man, Adam, and Adam was supposed to be in the image of God. When you say the image of God means, what is that image? He is indicating to us, man is physically formed in the structure of God, how God's structure is like, and in the likeness, the image, the features of Him. Do you follow? Hello, do you follow me so far? That is the image. How do you have an image? When you go and stand in front of a mirror, you'll see the image. When you stand in front of a water, you see the image. Is that right? But when you go and put yourself onto a photographing machine and come out, you'll come out as an image also on the paper. Is that right? How many of you have done that? No one has done. None of you were stupid like me. Good man. I put my face and see whether my face came out or not. It came out, but it was so dark. Couldn't see anything. See, sometimes our life, you know, we want to experiment so many things. So did Adam and Eve started experimenting some things. But when He created God created in the image. Image meant in the likeness of God. Those of you who come for the Holy Fire ministry, you'll understand when I spoke about powers of darkness. And I said, why Satan is against, don't like man. He always have got to come and tempt man. Why didn't he go and do something to the building, or he didn't do something to the plant, or didn't uproot some plant, or do something like that? He always looks for a man. Why? Because he is in the likeness of God, whom he doesn't like. Hello? He hates God because he says, how can God be always my superior? So because he's in the likeness of God, he hates man. So that is why every way he will do to tempt you, to pull you out to his side, so that you do not belong to God. Now when his likeness image means, we are in his likeness, but we cannot supersede him. You understand? The Word of God says we can be in His likeness, but we cannot supersede Him because He is always God and God will never be changed. God is perfect and holy. Hello? God is perfect. There is nothing that is you can find fault in God's image. Nothing you find fault in His character, His likeness that we carry, and the goodness that we carry. You can never find fault in them because God is holy and pure. So God created man, the first man, in His image. Let me say in His likeness, in His image, for Himself to be like, to have the glory of God be with upon Him. Not the glory of God He'll carry. He'll glory of God be upon us. So that the glory of God will shine through us. Amen? So that His light will shine through us. That is why Jesus is speaking about when He talks about a light. Right? For the first time when Adam created. So God is showing now the album. Wow! I created Adam first. And I created Adam. And I see, I gave everything to him in this Garden of Eden. And I see He's going to share with you and me. And He says, look how excited I am. I created him. When you have a child of yours, are you so happy? I can ask of you, mothers and fathers here, how many photographs have you taken of your children? That child was just playing, also take one photograph. The child is crying, also take photograph. The blood child eating, also with all the whatever it comes from the nose and whatever comes from the mouth, you still want to take a photograph. Everything is a joy for you, is that right? Right? Everything they do. Yesterday you can see the mothers were happy now seeing the children doing this and trying to help the children. You see why? Because there is a joy in the children you carry. So did Father God. God the Father, the triune God, the God Himself was happy with Adam, how He created him. He was happy. He found man to be good. He didn't say everything else, He said is good. But this man He created in His image, he must be perfectly like Him. Amen? So He was happy. The only word that we can find in the Garden of Eden about God and Himself is when the cool of the morning God walks. Alright? You can also find in the Bible, in Genesis also, another word says that another man who walked with God. Who is that? Enoch. There's only two persons who walked with God like that. So God came down with them and be present with them and was communicating with them. Right? So the image is first of all about being Himself. The likeness means is what? Likeness means is that is why it says His character we carry, His manners we carry, how we think He thinks we carry. So we cannot carry anything that is not of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is perfect. So on creation, God created Adam as perfect. And then God found Himself to be, Adam to be lonely. He created woman for him. And I did say that he saw the man created out of man. He said, whoa, woman. And he created this woman, and the woman was his life, and he's called her Eve. Word of God says. Now, when they were living together in the Garden of Eden, it's the family God extended from his triune God to our the earth. So he says now, multiply. Dominate and multiply. Now, what I'm driving here today is all of you know these basics. What I'm trying to say is, family, we belong to the family of God. We belong to the family of God. God holds an album. God holds a picture of our life throughout from the day we were formed in the mother's womb until the time we part from this earth to see Him face to face. God has got an album, a picture of ourselves. In the picture, Adam had a beautiful thing and how he was so innocent, walking around, running around in the Garden of Eden, how God was playing with him, how God was like a father and being around with him. As he walked means to commune. In the word, in the New Testament, you'll find, abide in me and as I abide in my Father. Do you understand what I'm saying? Abide in me as I abide in the Father. What does it mean? So commune with Him. Commune means like a father playing and being with the Father and being all the time with the Father and always playing in good times and bad times and when you're crying or when your nose is running down, whatever it is, you're still communing with the Father. Abide means is commune. Right? And there's another word which is also being translated from the thing. It's for intimacy with the God. Intimacy. So when you have intimacy means the man and woman is not supposed to just have physical intimacy, but their intimacy is in everything they do in their life. So one time, God says now, oh, how nice, I was there. When they were bathing, I was there. When they were doing their poo-poo also, I was there. You know, whatever they were doing, I was there. And they were laughing away, I was there, laughing away with them. And God is showing to us all this. Suddenly, and when there was a separation in between the time, when they went and Eve was alone, and Satan came in the form of entered serpent, and he tempted Eve. Now, God is speaking so joyfully. So joyfully he speaks about, you know, I want to know about my son Adam. Oh, Adam was so like this, like this. Like this. How many of us talk like that? You know, when the guy was small, the fellow was really naughty. But this man who was grown up, he was probably naughty also. Going around to explore whatever things God has given. He was eating everything whatever God has given. So he was there playing and with all the animals. How many of you got dogs at home as pets? Many of you got dogs. How many of you got monkeys at home as pets? Don't turn to your side, okay? Right? I'm watching you. Okay, don't turn to your side. There's no monkey at home. So, but some or other we call our children monkeys and call your husbands or wife monkeys. Right? So we don't have anyone like that in the house. We are from God. So there is no such thing as evolution from monkey, okay? Monkey is out of our life. Amen? Say amen to that. Monkey is out of our life. Monkey is out of our life. There is no creation through monkey. There is no creation through free fish. No evolution. It is out. God created a man who is matured that he can fellowship with and he can have intimacy with and commune with. Amen? So it was the album. So today, he's just like you and I were there and he was looking at Adam and Eve and they were growing together. Until this time when Satan had come, they was able to see in their life, they were able to feel God. They will be able to touch God in the spirit because they had the spirit of God in them alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he breathed the life, the spirit of God, when he breathed the life, breath of life, life means is present, is alive. So because he was with them, he was alive with them, and he was able to communicate, he was able to see things as normal. When God comes, they know God was there. God was not there. They also know God has gone to heaven. Or maybe he was not there at the time. He walks around. They know that when God is around and when God, they can feel God. Do you understand? How many of us feel God? We still pray, Lord, give me a heart of yours. Give me a mind of yours. Even David was called by God, seeking the heart of God. He didn't have the heart of God. Hello, do you see that? The word says, he was still seeking the heart of God. I'm pleased with him because he was seeking my heart. He was so desperately seeking the heart of God. The pulse of God. How does God feel about this? When I do this, how does he feel like it? When I do this, what will God say about it? He's seeking God. Every action of his, every thought of his is say, would God think like this? You're seeking God then. Because you're not sure about what you are. But in that presence of God, that's how Adam lived. Until this day, when Adam had fallen by sin. Two things happened. Number one, that spirit that God gave us life, that he now covered. It was not life anymore. You lived with your soul and your spirit, but the spirit's connection, sensitivity of your spirit, was nullified from the day onwards. Because of disobedience. So now God is showing now, oh, see how, when God says now, what did he say? I regret creating man. There is only one verse he says that, I regret. The one word itself carries a lot of burden of God. When you regret something, what happens in your life? When the word, it's a Hebrew word which is much more meaning than this, the English word. When you regret, what happens to you? What happens to our emotion? What happens to our mind? What happened to our physical body? How do we behave when we regret something? I should not have done that. You bang your hands. You know, you tend to be very, very angry with yourself. Or something happens to you emotionally. Is that right? You regret. And you're also remorseful also. Right? But God also had that feeling at that time. When he said, I regret. God had that point in his heart. But he did not forgo his word in the beginning itself. Because whatever God speaks, he speaks it right and surely will come to pass. God will not change his word. God is not a God who changes from time to time and season to season. God is the same from the beginning until the end. The word also gives you. I can give you the word. I'm sure all of you know the word. You can find, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And I am not a God who changes. I keep my covenants, says the Lord. He says he keeps his covenants. So he made a covenant with Adam, saying that you will multiply and you will dominate this earth. But since he could not be in that place, one thing happened was the spirit died. Then he came out of the heavenly works, the heavenly nature that he had in Garden of Eden, that he doesn't have to work, he doesn't have to even sweat to get his food. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see where I'm going now? So the garden now, when God says, I regret, when he says, now I ask this man to go out of this place, which is a joyful place, a place of obedience, a place of love, a place of communing with one another, a place where I played with this garden in my child. He's asked him to get out of the place. So two things happen. Number one, the spirit has been nullified, and now the man is no longer in the paradise world. Do you follow? So now we have a lot of problems in our life. God says now, I was sad, but I still remain keeping the word that I've given to him, that he will still multiply. He multiplied. He had two children at the time. So God says, look, Adam, first child, second child. What's his name? Cain? Abel. So now God is telling, I've got a grandson now. God, the Holy Spirit, shows us today, through Jesus Christ, God did not only have a family, but he was getting a community of his own. How do we know that? I'll give you the verses. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, he says that the good news that Jesus brought was the kingdom of God is here. When you say kingdom, there must be not one person. A kingdom consists of a king who reigns. Who is one? Jesus is the one who's reigning in the kingdom. Then you must have other people who are reigning together with him. A kingdom cannot be run by one person. Alright? Do you follow what I'm saying? So God not only created a family of his own, but he created a community, a big, huge community of his own. Like what we have today, our family. We have got brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, and all of them spread out. You put together a whole family, might even one hotel not enough. Ballroom. Right? Might not be enough. But that's how God created a community of his own. A family community of his own. Amen? When Seth came, Cain and Abel came, he was joyful about these children, that the community was extended. What he spoke in the beginning, he said, multiply, so the multiplication came into their lives. So God says now, I want to extend this family now, extend the family now. And he was displeased again. He was displeased again. God is not a God character who destroys. In the Garden of Eden, if just because of what Adam and Eve did, he could have destroyed them and recreate another person. Have you thought about it? God, if you only have destroyed that man, killed that man, today I won't be like this. I won't have this. Whatever I have in my life, whatever thoughts I have, whatever desires I have, all this come from my forefathers, Adam and Eve. So, but God is a good God. He didn't destroy what he created. He has put his breath into it, so he will not destroy anything that's got breath of his. Now, God did not kill Cain when Cain killed Abel. Can you see the God's heart? He doesn't know. He wants to preserve his family. He says, look, my family. He said, I've got a grandson now. You know, his name is Cain, and he now got Abel. Oh, sad. Cain has been killed. Cain killed Abel. Just because I liked him. Right? In the Bible, you'll find, and I speak about few families. One of the families is about Jacob. Right? His mother, Rebecca, what did she do? The eldest son, Esau, was supposed to get the favor. Because she liked him more than the eldest son, because the eldest son was pain to her, he married somebody from outside the family. He was very painful to her, hurting her. So what she did was, now she got Jacob to cheat the father. There was a favorism, is right? So God also, where did it come from? God favored this man because of his goodness, Abel. Right? He was good in his honors in doing things which was right. And God said, I will accept his offering, and he gave. So he was happy. See, look, I got two grandsons, two of them came, and then I liked this guy because this guy was dishonest, this guy was honest, I accepted his offering, and yet, the one which is deprived, he felt it deprived, he killed the one who was trusted and favored. The favored child is always a victim. Jesus was the favored child. Jesus was part of God, the family. God sacrificed that son of his. And it became a sacrifice for all of us. He was favored. When you'll find in Luke, he says very clearly, in him I am pleased. I'm well pleased, he says. Not pleased, well pleased with him. That was Jesus Christ when he was baptized. And he became a sacrifice. He died. Can you see Cain? Abel was one who was favored. And he was killed by Cain. Can you just imagine how sorrowful God would have been? First of all, God created one child of yours. Now I created one child. Now they did not disobey. What we learn from these two things today. Number one. We were created in his image. We are supposed to have that image of God. We look at somebody else and say, ayyo, so ugly, yeah. Ayyo, James so dark, ah. Why James' eyes like that, ah? Ayyo, why is he limping, ah? Before we speak that word, let's be reminded, God created every human being in his image. Let's bite our tongue from today onwards. Right? His image we shall not curse. His image we shall not curse. Are you, the person looks so old, ah? Remember, you'll also become one of them like one day. I always tell my father, why you got gray hair? Now I got gray hair also. I used to tell my father, you got an aerodrome, no? Aerodrome coming down, the aeroplane can come down and go up. And he says, what's wrong with this fella? I'll tell him in time because he can't understand, no? I said, like a plane is coming to come down and take off from your head. It's now shining, you know. So when it comes down and goes, so a plane is now can land nicely. It's a matter of time. I do not know. I know it's thinning up here. What I said when I was young is going to affect me also. At that time, I did not know. Do you understand? What we are today, we are in the image of God. In His likeness, in His image means we are a reflection of God. We are not Him, but we are a reflection of Him. Amen? So the mold still is with Him. Original mold is still with Him. But we are just a produce of that mold. Amen? So when God looks at us, He always looks at us. Number one, as you, whatever it is, we have to carry on with our life. Abel could not tolerate his brother out of jealousy. How many of us got no jealousy here? How many of us got no jealousy here? Every time from young, I was jealous also. I was jealous the fellow had a better pencil than me in school. Right? Better bag than me. Every one of us were jealous in our life. Even now we are jealous. We are envious of things. Where did we inherit it from? It must be from Cain. It must be from Cain. We pray today, God will remove that from our heart. That is why Jesus came down. That is why Jesus came. I'll give you a lot of scriptures next week when I preach again. I'll give you some notes because it's important for us to understand we are in the family of God. When we preach in the school church camp, when he said we are the members of the household of God, you must understand where did it come from. It came from the beginning itself. We are members of the household of God. We are the saints of God. Right? So God, Jesus did not say that you have come here, I've come here to give you life, life in abundance for what? He says continuation. There is only one thing that we have in us that is immortal. The spirit, the soul that God gave us is immortal as God is immortal. The soul shall never die. The body shall die. And the soul and the spirit will now present before God. And what the soul did is what we are answerable to. Amen. So God says now, to the eternity means your soul. He follows our soul wherever it goes. Whether in our body or it's up there. The spirit that God breathed into the life of Adam is that soul. The soul which was now corrupted. The soul which has got things which is not right. That is why we are here today for. Because Christ Jesus has redeemed us and we should walk in His likeness. Likeness means is communing with Him. When we commune with a father and a father as mother, what will happen? You will have the character of the person. So Jesus, God created, He says, I create the person not only in a reflection of me, but I also want them to have the same kind of goodness that I have in him. So Adam had that goodness in life. So he was joyful. God was joyful. He had everything else what God has got. He was able to dominate at the time as God dominated. He was able to dominate in the garden where he was. He was the king there. But he lost it because of disobedience. God is a God of obedience. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the family that he is God, the perfect family is God, is an obedient God. The Son obeyed the Father, Jesus Christ, and came down to redeem his people, his creation. The extended family is God. Do you see the unity? Obedience? Although the Son has got to go through in a physical form, so many things, so many agony that he has got to go through. Even in his soul, he had to go through so much of agony and temptation he has got to overcome in order to be perfect like the Father. He did all that out of obedience to the Father God, the Godhead. Obedience is number one in God. The Holy Spirit, the Son, and the God, the Fatherhead, the family, are obedient family to one another. So the family, as we create this family of the year, as we declare this year, the year 2012, as a family year, and to be disciple to disciple, we have to have that discipleship what Jesus had at that time. A disciple will sit before the discipler, that is the Father in heaven. He was obedient to him, listened to him, accepted whatever he needed. The family unity was always there, although there was suffering. Amen. Physically, Jesus had suffering, but the family unity never broke all the way. Do you follow where I'm getting today? The first family, God is now replica. He's saying, I've got unity. I've got a family. I want to extend this family so that it can nature. There'll be a flesh for it. And I want to have this same unity, same love, same things. Even if it is suffering, they will still go through together. Amen. We will not be jealous. We will not be envious. But how much God loved us so much. From the beginning, Adam was created. As much as you love your child, as much as you love your spouse, and this child is born out of love in your family, so is Adam born out of love for this world. When Satan destroyed this world and God recreated it in chapter 1, verse 2, God wanted to say, I want now the image of mine to take control and dominate this world which I have created. There will not be destruction. But man failed. Adam failed it. Do you know what I'm getting? A family can be destroyed because of disobedience. A family can be destroyed because of jealousy. A family can be destroyed where there is no communion, intimacy, abiding one another, each other. As the Father abides in me, I abide in him. I have communion with him. I have intimacy with him. That I will not break away from my Father. I will always be with the Father. The God the Father. Even as the Spirit God has sent today. Jesus said in chapter 14, 15. And you go on to see in chapter 16 very clearly in John. He said very clearly the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one will come. I spoke about it last on Friday night. about the character of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will give so many things to you. There are characters, 12 characters of Christ, of the Holy Spirit inside. That when he is here today, that 12 characters will be inside us. Amen? So it's a family that has got a disciple first. The family that God now has revived through Jesus Christ, that love that is lost, that intimacy that is lost in the Garden of Eden, which was they were sent out, now God restored, and God is rejoicing because he himself came down as a person in Christ Jesus, the third person, and he himself brought us back to him, relationship. Do you follow what I'm getting now? So we should now rejoice now. And we as a family, as we are gathered together, as a family of Christ Jesus, as a family in God now, we should rejoice and remember whatever happens. This family has got to continue and has got to believe that Christ Jesus dominates, liberated us from every other problems. The mistakes of the father, forefathers, Christ has now restored us. Amen? Amen? And I pray that this year will be a year of understanding of your family. A year of intimacy with a family. A year of being bonding with a family. Unless you bond, unless you have intimacy and togetherness, you will not find out about each other. Unless you bring down the guard that you have, the wall that you have within each other, bring it down, we will not be able to understand each other. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus himself says that, I am the Father. So I am in the Father. And it's in chapter 14, he says that, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Amen. I and the Father are one. Nobody dares say that in any gospel or any other literature other than the gospel. Nobody ever says that. They still look for the light. They're searching for something. But it has never been mentioned and say that, I am, you have seen the Father. What you have seen? The character, the image of Christ Jesus is a reflection, is actually the perfect form of God himself who came down on earth. Amen. The perfect form of God himself was on earth. That is why Jesus dare say, even I will not perform miracles. Like Jonah's miracle was the miracle only day. You'll find 3 days. There is someone here who is greater than Jonah. There is someone here who is greater than Solomon, he says. Why? Those who do not believe in Christ Jesus will have a problem. Because the second Adam has come to bring us back to him. And we must believe and have the character of God. You want to know the character of God, you have to know Christ Jesus. You want to know the likeness of God, you must know Christ Jesus. The communion he had with God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. So for Christ, not only did he give us as friends in chapter 15, but he calls us now as not only friends, but he calls us as even sons. There are two ways of sonship that we received. The son is used either in the characteristics of a person or a direct descendant of somebody. Right? I'm a son. So when I say I've got a spiritual son, means I'm molding somebody in this church to be a spiritual person, that spiritually whatever I receive from God, I'm imparting with the person, they will be able to have the spiritual connection with me and they are learning from me and they go out to our God and God says now, I'll release them to me and I will take care from now on. So there was a molding taking place. When I say spiritual son, they were not, but the character. When I say spiritual son, his character. Elisha was the spiritual son of Elijah. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is the relationship of not a true son, not a descendant, but he was the son, spiritual son. But here is a natural son who came down from heaven. His inheritance he had. He's a descendant of the Father in heaven. He came down and he was. And now Jesus has given us, and he says now, I am calling you not as friends, but now as sonships, as brothers and sisters. Why do I say that? Mark chapter 3, verse 34 to 35 says that. When these people, when he was preaching in Capernaum, in the house of Peter, And suddenly they said, as he was preaching, and people said, there your mother and your brother and sisters are outside there. They weren't looking for you. And what did he say? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Who are my mother? And he turned around and looked around and he says that these are my brother. These are my sister. These are my mother. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? It's in correspondence to his word again in the gospel saying that I have not come to bring peace within the father and the mother, within the son and the father, within the daughter and the mother, within the in-laws and the why? Because those who believe in him, who receive him, will be different, will have the sonship, whereas those in the own family who do not believe him will not have the sonship of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? So God has given us the sonship now and daughters. When I say son, it's not gender based. It is children based. Children of God. So as children of God, whether you're old or young, you're a child of God. So you have the characteristic of God. So we become his father. He's like his mother, his brother and sister. So we can call Jesus as the brother now. Amen. Because the son came down to bring sonship into our lives. So that was the beginning when God created Adam. So the album of Adam looks like this. Oh, I'm so happy I created him. You know, he was like cool, everything else. He was walking around until suddenly he says, one day. How many of you say that when you see your album, suddenly you get emotionally upright. Suddenly you think about the good times and suddenly think about the bad times. Oh, one day. James, you know, that guy, I was playing with him. He became a rowdy. How my father and mother would have felt the same way Jesus, Godfather, felt. What he lost, he brought it back through Jesus Christ. Now he's rejoicing to see all of us. But he sees, after what happened in Garden of Eden, only those people who walk upright with God are the ones who enjoy the sonship. In the Old Testament, only those who walk upright, I quote again, walk upright in his righteousness, are the one who are very close with him. The next person other than this person, Adam, was Seth. You read about Seth, and goes down under Seth. And God was happy there was a replacement of Abel. And he says, look, although I lost him, I've got another child now, Seth his name. And I'm so happy. Out of him, I'll bring that redemption. What did he say? Out of him, I have a plan now from today onwards. What I've lost in Adam, I will bring it back through Seth. The descendants of Seth. So today, what we are enjoying is the plan of God at that point of time when he had that emotion, when he shares with us, you know what, all this happened. No, but Seth came, and out of him I will make a redemption. And true enough, God made it. And after Seth, you'll find the only man who walked right and walked with God is Enoch and nobody else. Until Noah, after Noah is Abraham. We'll talk about Noah and his family one day. You'll understand the characteristics. We have our family like that today in our life. We must have that. Those people are elected and selected by God because they walk upright. They listen to God. They can hear audible voices from God. They can hear him. They do not see him, but they can hear him audibly because the word was still being not alive yet. The word has not come into the world. The word has to come. That's Jesus Christ in John 1. So God now shows his emotion by an album. He says, this is a picture I have of Adam. This is the picture I have of Cain. This is the picture I have with Eve. How disappointed I was. How disappointed I am with Cain. I'm starting this series because for us to search our soul, are we disappointing God or Jesus Christ? Are we walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ after our redemption? And I pray the series will enlighten you to see people's life. How God is going to express himself and say, wow, this is my son. I'm happy. I'm pleased with him. And today you and I are in the same album. We are going through, he's collecting all the pictures of ourselves and placing it onto the album. Whatever our characters, whatever God is placing there, he will share it with somebody else when we are up there and say, this is James. You know what? I brought him up and everything. And he's not, should be disappointed. Well, I am disappointed. He made a decision the church is wrong. Well, I am disappointed with him. He didn't listen to me. How many disappointments do you want to hear from God? How many goodness that he joys and just, oh, look at my child. This is how he is. How much you want to please him, it all depends on you and I. It doesn't depend on somebody else. But it's got to start from the family unit at home. And goes on to the church as a family. As a resurrected family. As a family which has got life now. As a family, as you come to church, we must remember we gather as a members of the household of God. We are part of the household of God. And we do not lose that. The membership of the household of God. For we are sons and daughters. We are kings and priests. And we are called to be one. Our exemplary life should actually show that. Should expose it to others. So God can say, so and so lived in this earth. Just like now, Enoch lived. And now, Noah lived. And now, Abraham lived. Now, so many people lived. Amen? Praise God. And I pray today, we'll take home two things. Number one, we are in the image of God. I shall not utter any word about another person, even if they are lame, even if they are ugly, about that person. Because I honor the image of God. When you come before God, God says, Jesus says, if you have got a problem, you've got animosity with your brother, lay down everything that you have. Lay down at the altar and go and make peace first. It's important for us today to sit down and remember, God, I'm sorry. I've been judgmental on people, which is not right. They have the image of you. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. My character, my likeness of yourself didn't show up. How can I judge another person when I don't have that likeness in you? Unless we have the likeness of God, likeness has got more than just one or two words, characters. Likeness has got so many things I want to talk about. I won't have time. It'll take another hour. Likeness of God. Likeness. Image is one. Likeness is another one. Do we have the likeness of God? Lord, give me more of Jesus, Father, that I will have the likeness of Jesus, that I will have the likeness of you. Amen. It's the likeness of Jesus we are seeking for, that please God, that we will please God in the same way the Father God. Amen. God is good. God is good. He created a plan for us and made sure his covenant has come to pass. God is always shaping to become a family and make a family for himself and also make a community for himself. And we are the extended community of that God's family. Amen? We are an extended family. Don't think the Israelites is the chosen one only, but we are an extended family of the God's kingdom. And we are the extended family of God himself. Amen? We pray that we'll have that unity in our life. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let's go back and reflect. I hope you pray. I hope you read the Word of God. How many of you read the Word? I gave you a booklet last week to go back and start reading. The beginning, the first one says what? On the first day, about creation. It talks about creation. So after that is Matthew and Genesis. You start with Genesis. So I pray you'll follow. If you have got your own, go ahead. But if you can read that one, follow that. And I believe it'll be done. And I pray that when I come back, I'm going off to Philippines. When I come back next week after, and I will be able to bring some different languages. I want to make something. I have time. I'll create in Bahasa language, Tamil, and also the Mandarin language. I can work on that. Somebody to do the Mandarin language. So we have a scripture that people can follow someone somewhere. And I pray you will understand about Adam today, what God had in intention for Adam, and how he failed, and how he redeemed us. So that Lord will see God himself keeping an album of Adam first. Then all the others follow through. We'll talk about Joseph and we'll talk about different persons, different times. so that the year of family will be made. And the year of family was to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. So God will be glorified in the year of familyness. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, that everything that you've got planned for us, Father, and everything you said is according to your plans. When Adam failed, you had a plan for them to come back to the Garden of Eden. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you have made that way for us. For you are the way. You are the truth. You are our life today. We pray we'll abide in you so that you will abide in us. That we'll have the likeness of God, the triune God. That we will not fall away from your plans. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, this morning, that your heart will touch every one of them here, and they will know your plans in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.